Sleep Cafe.
Hello, we are back. Hopefully there's no popping this time.
Yeah, we hope not. I just worked too long and too hard for there to be popping on it still.
We're now recording on my computer, so...
Let us know what happens.
Yeah, because, like, the thing is, you guys, we'll do test runs, right? I wish we could just post our test runs, because you get some really good vocals.
That could be a whole episode.
You get some good vocals from me.
Yeah, for both of us.
Yeah, we just start singing. We're like, how do we test? So hopefully it's not popping, but like we'll do test runs and it won't be popping, and then we go to a post and it starts popping.
Yeah,
so,
like when we're listening to it.
We're like,
okay.
Sorry.
So this is just the popping podcast now.
It is. So nonetheless, any news? Anything's happened in the past week?
In the past week? No. Sadness. Never ending.
This isn't going through it.
School's trash. Also, if anybody owns a Nintendo Lite, let me know how you like it, because I think I'm going to buy one so I don't, you know, suicide.
Not suicide.
Yeah.
I brought mine just to get her
so
through.
So I could admire it. I think I want a yellow one.
I think she needs
to
get it.
So I can be a gamer girl.
Yeah. We're gamer girls.
Yeah. I don't know what I'd play on it. I feel like...
I play Cooking Mama. And I forgot to bring Cooking Mama.
Like,
so.
I know everybody and their mom is like all about Animal Crossing, but I think it's like a thing where it's like real time almost, right?
My ADHD does not let me play that game.
Yeah, I don't know if I would like it a lot. I'd probably borrow somebody else's before I like went in.
You can play mine tonight.
Oh, you have it?
Yeah, I brought it over. Cool. I forgot Cooking Mama though.
That's okay.
Which is
You're
like
forgiven.
The real game. And I have Spyro.
Cute.
It has like three. It's really fun. Did you play Spyro when you were a child?
I've watched other people play Spyro, but I haven't played it.
Yeah, it was like the first game I played on like the first PlayStation. Yeah. So I was like, I will get this game.
My Nintendo experience is only with the Wii and the DS.
Nintendogs?
Yes. I did have Nintendogs at one point, but I don't know where it is now. Most of the games that I have left over are like every version of Pokemon, which really... Somebody in the Pokemon community is going to get mad at me. It's basically the same game over and over again. You're just in a different place, and you'll meet different people. But it's basically the same game over and over again. Some of the starters are different sometimes, depending on which one you have. But I think the only other games I really played that much was Cooking Mama. And
Cooking Mama slaps.
Oh, I played like Mario, but...
Yeah.
Mario
and
Kart.
If you get Mario Kart, I mean, you can regular. Play... against each other on our lights.
I'll just like text you at like 8 in the morning and be like, you want a Mario Kart right now?
Yeah, I'll be like sure, let's Mario Kart.
Yeah.
We start cussing. I get a little overly aggressive at Mario Kart.
I'm scared now.
Like, it's just not mean aggressive. I'm just like, fuck, you know?
Yeah. I don't really get that upset over games, so.
It's not like I'm going to punch a hole into my basement wall.
Well.
I'm not a man.
Then are you really playing a game?
No. Ashnikko came out with an album that slaps.
Yeah. All of her music slaps.
Yeah.
Stan.
She is a queen.
She is.
What
else is going on? We have the Valentine's Day drinks from Dunkin' Donuts right now.
They're delicious.
The pink ones. It's like somebody put pink milk in coffee, so if that's your thing, you'd like it.
Oh, you know what we didn't get to talk about? How well Biden's inauguration went.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing happened.
And since then, I've just been, like, not even concerned remotely about what the president's doing. And that's how I kind of like to keep it for right now. I'm like, can we just get, like, a break for a month?
Something's happening with the stock market.
Yes. With Reddit. Oh, my God. That was so funny.
They're, like, betting on GameStop.
Yeah. So, like, what happens? I had to learn how the stock market
I had to learn,
works,
too. I didn't know.
I wanted to be a part of the memes. So, I was like... let me figure out how the stock market
I messaged
works.
A coworker of mine who is active in the stock market, mm-hmm. and I was just like, what the hell is going on in the stock market?
Yeah, I wanted to be a part of the memes because they were about eating the rich and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I had to know what was happening.
But like, they like invest in the stock market seriously. So I was like, if it's a sensitive topic, we don't have to talk.
Like, if you're going to get triggered, I don't even want to get into this with you.
I was like, I'm just curious.
Yeah. So what happened is all of these rich people, like, when they play stocks, I guess you can bet against companies that you don't think are going to do well. And so when they start losing money, then you get like whatever you bet back.
So right? People, yes.
And
so,
I think sometimes you can get extra from like interest or however that works.
I don't know. Is playing in the stock market, is that like gambling?
It sounds like it every time that I hear somebody talk about it.
But I'm like, but gambling's elite.
Yeah. Is,
but then I don't get casinos.
It depends on where you're at. Some places it's not, and some places it is. And that's also why some states will have like casinos that are like on boats, because technically you're not in the state, you're in the water. So that's how they get around that rule.
Interesting.
It feels illegal.
When I went on a cruise, there was gambling, and like the people I went with, they gambled a lot. Yeah. The only thing I played was like a claw machine where you get money out of it. And I won $200 out of
I
it.
Love that.
I put a five in and I won $200 and I said, I'm stopping. And the people behind me were like, whoa. And I said, honestly, I just like claw machines. If this had teddy bears in it, I would have put $5 in.
Literally. I don't know enough about, I guess, the politics of gambling, but I don't know why it would be illegal, just because like if you want to bet all your money away, who's stopping you?
Just like
you?
Stock market just sounds like gambling to me. Like, yeah. How,
and maybe because I like don't understand it. Money's fake anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Yeah. But like, it was very confusing, and I only know the bare minimum enough to understand the memes. All of these rich people bet against GameStop, and Reddit was like, yeah, you think. And so then a bunch of people started investing in it because it was only, I think, like $10, $15 a share or something, mm-hmm. which is like enough for a normal person to buy. It's not like $200 a share. And so when all of these people like were flooding in to invest in it, it obviously made the company more like valuable because more people are in it or whatever.
Yeah, but
and so then all of the rich people that had bet against it lost all of their money, and it like put some companies out of business or something.
Yeah,
and
like,
well, that's really funny.
Like a business guy like went on ABC News or whatever, mm-hmm. and was like crying.
Aw.
He like pulled out a $100 bill and like wiped his tears.
Aww.
Apparently it's gonna like really fuck up the stock market though, but like
I don't
care.
I'm not invested in the stock market.
We should post that TikTok of the two senators that live together in that house.
Oh my god, we have to show you guys. It's not, I think it's four of them.
Four of them? I couldn't think. Remember. Cause I was like, I thought it was two and I was like, seems kinda gay.
That house is anything but gay.
Yeah.
It's like one of the houses in Capitol Hill. The TikTok started off, it's like a clip from some news channel. I don't even remember which one. But they were like, this house looks like the most rundown frat house on campus. But actually, it's the blah, blah, blah house on Capitol Hill where these senators, and they like named them off, lived. It was disgusting. If it was a frat house, I'd be like, yeah, that checks out. But
yeah,
like, these
it
are
looked,
grown men.
It looked like a frat house. Like, I thought it was like going to be a frat house. But they're like, this is a house of the most important people. I was like,
yeah. And it looks like it doesn't pass inspection. So
no, they had a chair and they had like a...
Like it was a like, broken chair.
Yeah, it was broken, so they put like a piece of wood over it so they could sit in it.
It's like, hey, also, don't you guys have money?
Yeah.
Why do you live like this?
And then there was like a bucket of underwear just like sitting in the living room.
Which also their living room was somebody's bedroom too. It's just like, you guys, hey, we do not need to be living like this. There's absolutely no reason to.
Right, even if there's four people living in that house and someone is living in the living room.
Yeah. They don't have to look like this.
Mm-mm.
No. And it showed, like, one of the sockets that had obviously caught on fire at some point because it was all, like, black and singed and stuff.
One time that happened to me, and it was very scary. I wasn't doing anything. It was just plugged in, and I was, like, on my computer, and I had just plugged it in, and it went, I think I, like, blew a fuse or something. I don't know. It was, like,
fire.
It was like lightning outside, too, so I don't know if that could have played a part in it.
Probably.
Yeah, and it was very scary, so... Yeah.
One time I was blow drying my hair and my hair got sucked into the back of it and it snatched it right out of my head.
Oh my god. One time lightning struck outside the front of my house.
Like just in the front yard?
It hit the like cement pavement. It like shook the whole house and like the power went out. So it could have hit me.
Well, you were inside.
Yeah. Do Do you shower when it thunderstorms outside?
I think that I've heard you're not supposed to, but I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't either.
So, like, I still do it.
I do, too. I just didn't know.
I don't know why. Like, what is the reason behind that? Can you get electrocuted from it? Like, does the water, like, summon lightning?
Yes.
It's like, oh, the lightning knows that somebody's showering right now. I don't know if it had to do with that, or is there something about how, like, indoor plumbing works? Like, or is that just something fake that we were told by our moms or something? You know how your mom's
It's because you can get struck by lightning. If your house is struck by lightning, it tends to go through either the wires or the plumbing. So that means anything that's plugged into the wall or connected to the outside could become electricized.
Electricized? Exercise.
I think honestly it's a risk I'm willing to take.
Yeah, me too.
Marissa and I are going to buy Hannah Montana's Sweet Niblets cookbook. And once a month, we're going to cook and we can leave reviews.
We can put it on our podcast page.
Yes.
Like on Instagram.
Oh, my God.
That would be hilarious. How many pages in it? Do we know?
I have a good bit. It's on eBay. I have it. Sweet. The unofficial cookbook contains one of a kind. Where I was reading something and I clicked the link to read more. One-of-a-kind recipes by the series from Achy Jakey Heart Crumb Squares, Grandma Ruthie's Cake Recipe, Bad Moose Rising Chocolate Pudding, to Nobody's Perfect Pizza, with tons of recipes to follow. I think we need to get it.
We do.
Okay. I'll order.
We'll write this off as a text.
Can we?
For our business. No, I don't think so. I think we have to be, like, registered as a business first.
I don't even know how to do that.
We have to find somebody on investing TikTok where they just go, poor people should just invest their money and then they won't be poor anymore.
You know? Oh my God, one of the recipes is literally mixing popcorn, marshmallows, chocolate candies, candy cane, and sprinkles. That is one of the recipes. So I think we're in for a treat.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll order it.
Any better.
Honestly, it might be worth something 10 years from now.
It probably will. It'll probably be worth something when TikTok gets its hands on it and then everybody goes to try and buy it.
I guess I better buy it tonight.
So you better buy it.
That's what happens.
Yeah. That's why that mascara that makes you look like you have spider legs on your eyes, it's like sold out everywhere. It's the Maybelline Sky High.
Yes, I saw it. I saw it and I messaged Marissa. I said, is Maybelline cruelty free? And she said no. And I said, well, I won't be getting it.
Yeah.
Because it's not hard to be cruelty free. It's not an extra cost. It's not.
Actually, at this point, like, I don't understand why makeup companies aren't. Not to be PETA for a minute here, but like.
PETA's apparently awful though.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. That was the bit.
Yeah. Sorry.
I missed it.
Okay. Anyways, we can edit this.
Yeah, part. PETA like euthanizes animals and
all like, kinds of stuff. Like, so. The animal could be just like out in the street and they'll be like, kill it.
Yeah. And then like on Twitter, they'll be like, if you even smell ice cream, like, you should die. Oh, it's like that vegan teacher on TikTok. That's the
she. Did you know she's a lesbian?
Well, not that doesn't save her.
No, not that. That like that came out wrong. But she made that one TikTok that was like hating on like gay people, yeah, and then I found out that she was gay.
She said it's selfish to come out because the only reason that people come out is for themselves.
No, I didn't. That came out wrong. I meant it because she like hated on the gay LGBTQ and community, but
that's
she is
projection.
But she is a part of it, so I was like confusion.
Yeah, one of her other videos, she was talking about.
Do you have something to say?
Jinx is like, let me be a part of this. I know the tea.
She was talking about how, like, gay people should understand that being vegan is important because animals are oppressed.
And so are gay people.
And so are gay people.
I was like, man.
I was like, I think that's a bit of a stretch. She's putting her butthole right in the microphone. Having a cat be like.
This one doesn't have a lot to say. I was hoping we might catch purrs on recording. Yeah.
You might hear the rain outside. Ooh, it's rainy.
Oh, we also got a Valentine's donut, so we're going to have with dinner tonight.
Our dinner, like, alongside.
Yes, as a side.
Yeah,
it's a side. We're having pasta instead
of. Some people have salads. We have donuts.
No, there's this really cheap pasta recipe, and it's so good. I spent $7 getting all the stuff
for
it.
Is this a cooking podcast? Yes. We're talking about a cookbook and then about dinner. Amazing.
We're transforming.
Yes.
I think with all the cannibalism we've talked, I think it's just...
that's the direction that we can go in now.
I cannot believe our last episode is called Two Cannibals, One Cup. They go. I just go to my therapist. They're like, so what seems to be the problem? I just show them the titles.
Yeah, the titles of our podcast. Like, oh. What do you guys think whenever you see our titles every week?
Yeah. Do you know it's clickbait? Have you gotten used to the clickbait?
Yeah. It'll be one sentence that we say.
Yeah.
But, and that's it.
But they're clickable, hence clickbait.
Yeah, because you're like, what is happening?
And it was a freak accident one time for our first title. And now in our brain, we're like, we have to title it something spicy every time.
Every time. You guys are never going to get just like Jeffrey Dahmer / I don't know, something house. Haunted. Paranormal Activity.
Haunted Spooky.
The Haunted Spooky House.
Yes. That one is right down the street.
Yeah, that one.
Mm-hmm. I saw the girl come out of it.
Well.
No, so nothing really happened. Well.
Nothing happened. We talked for 15 minutes.
About nothing.
It might be longer this week.
I don't know. Sometimes it's just fun to just... bullshit. Yeah. And it feels good now that I know our audio is like fixed because Marissa is an audio engineer.
I still don't know what the hee-haw I did to fix it, but it's whatever.
When we were trying to originally, when we first started recording and we tried to figure this stuff out originally on Marissa's computer, it did this thing and we were like, and we're just like played our voices very weirdly back, like super weirdly. And then it started doing it on my computer when she's trying to fix it and she's like, oh, we're getting close.
Yep.
And we did.
Well, that's the first time that sound came out. Right. So there's all of these things you have to do. Podcasters, you get it. Let us know what software you use, please. Because I'm about tired of both of these. So,
They make our life difficult.
Okay, I guess I'm going to start. Yes. Mine's like kind of long. I'm going to try and go through like the victims part of it. Because there's a lot more than I realized. But we're here already.
So they killed a lot of people?
Yes. So I'm going to do Richard Ramirez this week. Because we started watching The Night Stalker. And on Netflix, it's very good.
Pause. If you think he's attractive, stop listening. That is all.
Yeah. Also, your trigger warning, if you don't know what he did, this has rape in it a lot. There's an instance of kidnapping, pedophilia, and murdering children. So all of the boxes of really awful things are getting checked, okay? This is your fair warning. I'm sorry I keep doing this. So he was born February 29th, 1960, which is a leap year. Maybe he had a complex about that. El Paso, Texas.
Was this a leap year this year? Last year?
You asked me that the other day, too. No idea.
Still don't know. Okay, sorry.
obviously, if you don't know, his alias is the Night Stalker.
Hey, pause. Can we stop giving serial killers cool names?
Yeah.
Like, let's call him Tiny Ding-a-ling-a Boy.
Perfect.
Like, the Night Stalker, that's kind of a cool name.
Yeah, like, it sounds, like, edgy and, like, cool.
That's, like, what the Scene Kids...
Yeah, like, your MySpace name.
My Tumblr name when I was a...
Sorry. Are you gonna dox yourself?
Yes.
Does it still exist? Before you say this, does it still exist on the internet?
No, it doesn't, because I deleted it, because I'm embarrassed by what the name is.
I love that.
The name was... Dipped in Pharaoh's blood.
I love it. The spice of that. What if we all had to have our first Tumblr names like on our driver's license and that's how we were identified?
Baby. And I spelled Pharaoh's wrong too.
You spell it
wrong. Okay. I don't remember because then I had to make it. I had to like fix it. So I was like,
oh God. Okay.
Sorry. So, sidetracked.
Richard Ramirez, he's one of five kids. His father was a policeman, and he eventually became a physical laborer. I don't know if he got laid off or what the story is there. And he was working on railroads, and he says that his father, like, beat him a lot, was super abusive to him and all of his siblings, so we're already starting off not great. So, because his dad is so awful, he starts hanging out with his cousin whose name Miguel, he goes by Mike. So I don't know how much older Mike was than Ramirez, but I know that it was like significant enough to where like Ramirez was a child and this was like a full grown man. So Mike fought in the Vietnam War.
Nice.
And if you know a little bit about that, a lot of people that were fighting
for the Americans that went over there did a lot of awful things to the people that were living in Vietnam, besides the normal war stuff. Mike had a bunch of pictures that he had brought back with him, and he would show them to Richard when he was like a child. And a bunch of these pictures had like women that he had raped,
nice, and
physically beaten.
And
some of them were women that he had fully decapitated. And it was like him holding their heads in the pictures, and which showed to this child. Yeah.
What if we didn't do that?
So, yeah. Mike was also known for doing a lot of different kinds of drugs. And he was the first person to introduce drugs to Richard. First time that he ever had marijuana, he was 10 years old. So. May 4th, 1973. Richard is hanging out at Mike's house, as he does. Mike and his wife, Jessie, had gotten into some kind of fight. I don't know what it was over, but it ended up with Mike shooting her in front of Richard in their house.
How did I not know? Like, I knew he had a fucked up childhood, but, like, I didn't know it was that bad.
So, yeah, and also, Mike didn't go to jail. He got, like, an insanity plea or something, and just ended up going to, like, a mental hospital.
Which is very hard to get.
Yeah, he was in there for, like, 4 years. So, obviously, Richard can't hang out at his house all the time anymore because he's not there. So, he goes and starts living with his older sister. So this doesn't get much better at all. He's living with his sister. He's still, I think, only like a teenager. I don't think that I have actual ages. But this is when he starts getting like a reputation as being a peeping Tom, when he starts looking into people's windows and stuff like that.
And that's why I have blackout curtains.
Yeah. And so where did he get the idea to do this activity, you might ask?
His sister's boyfriend.
His sister's husband, Roberto. They would go and walk around the neighborhood.
Oh,
night.
They went together.
Yeah, they went together. It was a little field trip.
It was a kiki.
Yeah. Yeah. And he would like show him which windows were like the good ones and stuff. So disgusting. Yeah.
That's scary. That's why I just like want to have an elevated house.
Yes. I agree. A floating house.
Just
the
like
up house with all of the balloons.
Yes. You know the houses that are like next to the ocean that are on like 20-foot stilts,
yes,
because ocean. That's what I want. But I just want it to be like on farmland.
Oh, okay. Still house. Do you want to live in a tree house, Olivia?
Maybe. That could be so much fun.
It would be fun.
Except when the squirrels come in.
Well, you'll just have to accept that.
That was Phil.
Yeah, you start naming. You put little collars on them. Fun. Okay, so at this time, Richard also started experimenting with harder drugs like cocaine, LSD, and this is when he started becoming really obsessed with Satanism. And by the time that he gets to like ninth grade, he just drops out of school.
You can drop out in ninth grade?
Well, in 1970 something, you could.
I think you can still now.
You might be able to. I think you have to be 16, right?
I don't know. I know my ex-boyfriend dropped out.
Love that.
We weren't dating when he dropped out.
Oh. Okay.
We had been broken up.
Oh. Well, after he had dropped out of school, I think it was only maybe 2 years. I think he was like 18 or 19. He had gotten a job at the Holiday Inn. And you know how hotels have like the universal keys for like staff?
No.
Yeah. So it started with him just going into guests' rooms when they weren't in there. And he would just steal their stuff. But it ended up with him, he gets fired after this. He decided that he gets a little more, ballsy, I guess. And he is going into this woman's room and he tries to rape her.
Uh-huh.
Well, her husband comes in the middle of it and just beats Ramirez like senseless.
As he should.
Yeah. He ended up getting fired, but there weren't any charges. I think these people lived out of state, and they didn't want to come back to, like, press charges and go through with it or whatever. They just wanted to, like, never think about it again. So he just got fired, went on about his business. So this is where I'm going to start trying to go a little bit faster.
That's okay. Mine's short and sweet.
Okay. His first murder was April 10th, 1984. He was 24 years old. He was living in a different hotel.
I don't think that he was working there. I think he was just living there, like using it kind of as an apartment space. He meets a girl named, I'm going to butcher this, I'm so sorry. I think it's Mei Lung, maybe? He rapes her, beats her, stabs her, and he leaves her body hanging from the pipes in the hotel's basement. She was 9. So, yeah. I'm sorry.
That's like last week when I was like, yeah, and his penis was bitten off. Yeah, and you're just like, hey, ma'am.
Yeah, I think she also lived at the hotel, obviously with her parents, but, yeah, I think that he just kind of coerced her to come with him.
Look, there is obviously all murderers, awful people, but ones that go after, like, children and, like, the elderly.
Yeah. You're going to hate this story, then. Those are his main victim pools.
What a cunt.
I think one of these people are also disabled. So, that's awesome.
Oh, so he, like, goes for, like, vulnerable.
Of course.
Easy. Yeah. Not easy, but, like, easy to manipulate people.
So, so that was April 10th, 1984. Also, a lot of this happens in 85. You're going to get tired of hearing me saying it. I was tired of typing it when I was typing dates.
You said so, all. So,
the next one, this one doesn't have as much information. It was June 28th, 1984. This woman's name is Jenny Vincow. She was found in her home. She had been beaten and murdered. I think that he also, like, stole a bunch of her stuff, so the house was also a mess. She was 79.
What the fuck?
Yeah, so.
His victim pool also, like, you know how usually, like,
there's, like, a type?
Yes. Yeah. He doesn't, if I remember right, he doesn't have a type besides a lot vulnerable.
I think, motive, most of the time, he would obviously go in. He had the same pattern every time where he would rape people and, like, stab them. If there was a husband or a man in the house, he would kill them first and then do whatever he wanted to do with the woman. And then he'd, like, steal all their stuff. For his first couple of murders, there was, like, no evidence left at the scene. And that's why it took so long for them to figure out what was happening. Because there was, like, no trace anywhere. I don't know how he got so good at burglaring, but he was, like, a pro at it, if that's nice. Something you can be great at. So the next one is March 17th. It's 1985.
You're a bird.
Maria Hernandez is outside of her house. I think that she was coming back from work, and she's, like, in the middle of, like, trying to pull into the garage. So, Richard attacks her outside. He tries to shoot.
Is it daylight?
I know. I think it's, like, towards the end. Because
obviously he's called the Night Stalker.
Yeah, most of his stuff happens in the middle of the night. So he attacks her. He tries to shoot her in the face, and it did not work. And it is because she had her keys in her hand trying to get out of her car, and she held them up to, like, you know, protect herself, and the bullet ricocheted off her keys.
Not my keys being my favorite defense weapon. I don't literally know. When you walk outside, if you put that shit between your knuckles.
Me. However, she did have a roommate.
How to say you're a woman without saying you're a woman.
She had a roommate. This woman's name is Dale Yoshi Okazaki.
Okay.
I think that's what it is. So when her roommate was inside already, because she had been there, and she heard the gunshots outside, and she ducked behind the counter because she didn't realize that it was happening, like, in their carport. Well, I think at this time, Ramirez had, like, tried to enter the house because he thought it was only that girl out there, and he's just gonna take her stuff.
So he doesn't know there's another girl.
Yeah. Well, she pops up from behind the counter because she thinks that, like, the coast is clear, and he shoots her in the face. And she was 34. So the same day, but it's later that night. It's still March 17th. He's leaving that house because he just killed that woman. And he does a lot of this, like, oh my God, like, I've shot somebody. And then he runs away. Like it scares him. Like, it startles him. Like, he didn't expect that to happen.
I shot him and they died?
I understand. Yeah. What? So he's running away from there. And in his little, like, mania, he pulls a woman out of her car. I think you say her name, Cylian, maybe? She goes by Veronica. He pulls her out of her car. He shoots her twice in the face, and she was 30. Just in the middle, like, of the street. Yeah.
For what?
Yeah. So
you did this for what?
And after all of these started happening, this is when, like, the news really started picking up on, like, hey, there's somebody running around just killing people. They first called him the walk-in killer and the valley intruder, because where they lived, it was called something valley. I don't remember. but the walk-in is obviously because he'd just be walking into people's house, and, like, that's it.
And that's why I got 6 locks on my front door.
Literally. So, 10 days after this, it's March 27th. He enters the home of Vincent Zazara and Maxine Zazara. So it's about 2 a.m. And when he enters the house, he notices Vincent is there. He shoots him immediately because get rid of the husband. And when the gunshot goes off, Maxine wakes up because obviously. And he starts beating her and he's like, where is all of your expensive stuff? And she's like, take whatever you want. You know, like, that stuff doesn't matter. Like, don't hurt me. Like, that kind of stuff. I mean, he's still, like, beating her with his hands. But he starts pulling the room apart, and Maxine gets out of the ropes that he had tied her up with, and she tries to get a shotgun out from under the bed that had been there. It wasn't loaded, unfortunately. But when he realizes that she's trying to do this, and he sees her pull it out from under the bed, he, like, loses his mind more so than he already did. And, he gets really mad, and he shoots her 3 times with his little, I think it was like a .22 that he had been carrying around. I don't know what that looks like. Anyway, but, and after she had died because he was so angry, he mutilated her body. It was like cutting stuff off, and he left both of her eyes in her jewelry box on their dresser. So.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
I don't know. No idea. She was 44 and her husband was 64. Also, the sad part about this is the way that they were found, their son had come by their house because he hadn't heard from them in a few days. He goes by the house and obviously walks into this. And this is the first crime scene where there's an imprint of his shoe left behind up under the window, like in the dirt. So they cast it and it's like, well, whoever this is, you know, we got their foot, I guess. So May 14, 1985, he goes into the home of Lillian and Bill, it's either Doi or Dwa, it's D-O-I. So this is the one where the woman is disabled. When he enters the home, Bill hears him because I think he was awake, and he immediately shoots him in the face. And then he goes to where Lillian's just chilling at in their bedroom, and he rapes her, he, like, ties her up, and he starts, like, going through all of their stuff, his usual thing. Bill is 66 and Lillian was 56. So, next, May 29th, he enters the home of 2 sisters. It's Mabel Bell and Florence Lang. He does his usual tie them up, rape both of them. He bludgeons Florence with a hammer that he found, I think maybe in the garage. And then he does the same thing to her sister, and he also repeatedly shocked her with electrical cords.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Florence was 81 and Mabel was 83.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He also left, he took one of their lipsticks and he, like, was drawing pentagrams on the wall and stuff. And so at first when the police saw that, they thought it was like a Manson thing, mm-hmm. because they had done that at all of their stuff. I don't know if he got that from them and was trying to throw people off or if he was trying to start like a signature, but that's like the first crime scene that he, like, leaves notes and stuff on the wall. So, the day after that, he goes into the home of Carol Kyle. She is 42 and she's home alone with her son, who is 11. He ties both of them up and he's like asking where their stuff is, usual. He ends up untying Carol and he takes her into a different room and assaults her. He makes her go back into there. And I don't think that he did anything to her son, but he made both of them like sit there until he left, and I think she got out and made her son go over to the neighbor's house to like get help. So July 2nd, 1985, he is in the house of Mary Louise Cannon. She's asleep in her room because it's the middle of the night, and he like bludgeons her to death with the blunt end of the table lamp, like on her nightstand. And then he stabs her with a knife that he found in the kitchen like a bajillion times. I don't think that he assaulted her. I didn't see that, but it's possible because that's what he likes to do. But she was 75. So once again, why? July 5th, only 3 days after that one, he's in the house of Whitney Bennett. He beats her with a tire iron while she's asleep in her bed. He tries to strangle her with an electrical cord that he found, but it starts sparking and she started breathing, and she had not been before. So he freaks out, and he said that he ran away and stopped because he thought that Jesus was directly intervening with his plan, which, good that he stopped. But he obviously has some religious issues. but she was only 16 years old, and she survived. She had to get, I think it was like close to like 500 stitches or something in her head, because he beat her in the head with a tire iron. Like,
it's a miracle she survived.
I know. So 2 days after that, July 7th, he goes into the home of Joyce Lucille Nelson, and he beats her to death. He also kicks her in the head and like, he jumps on it. Yeah. But because he did that and he has his shoes on, this connects him to the first
house with the shoe outside. Because
there's a shoe print like perfectly on her head. So, yeah. so the cops are like, oh, this is the same person.
Like, fuck.
Yeah. She was 61 years old. So this is the same night. Is a few hours afterwards, he enters the home of Sophie Dickman. He does the same thing all the time, blah, 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 stealing her stuff. And he said, like, during that assault, he makes her swear her soul to Satan, like, multiple times. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. July 20th, he enters the home of Leela and Maxon, I think, Kneading? K-N-E-I-D-I-N-G. He mutilates both of their bodies with a machete. I don't know where it came from, but new weapon enters. And he takes all of their things. I don't think that he assaulted either one of them. Like, sexually, obviously, the other thing. But Leela was 66 and Maxon was 68. Same night, he breaks into somebody else's home. I'm going to butcher these names, too. I'm so sorry. Somkid and Shainarong Kovanath, I think. So he does the same thing, takes the husband out, and he starts raping Somkid. Eventually their like child hears it and he comes into the room. Their child is 8 years old. He doesn't do anything to the child. And I think because the child had entered the room, he's got this thing where it's like every time that somebody has a child in their house, like he doesn't really stop what he's doing, but it doesn't end up with him killing anybody or beating anyone. And I don't know if it's because there was a kid there and he has some form of a moral compass, but like,
he's like, ah, man, this kid
entered the chat.
Okay. Maybe it's like something of how he felt abandoned as a kid and had to go live with his sister. And so he's like, I can't have this kid be abandoned. Yeah. But still, that doesn't make sense.
Right.
But they don't really be making sense ever.
He also makes both of them swear their souls over to Satan before he would leave the house. So
that's like really messed up.
I know.
Like the whole killing and stuff is like really messed up. Like, but the whole swearing to Satan, like, that's something that people like.
Yeah. Like that means a lot to certain people.
Exactly.
You know?
And
like, I know not everybody believes that that's like a thing, but if for some people that would like, that could like mentally ruin you besides
like in that moment happening. Like they're probably like already praying to God, like, right, protect me, be with me, and then this guy's like, swear your soul to Satan.
Yeah. And he won't stop until you do. Like, what? Yeah. So August 6, 1985, still, he breaks into the house of Chris and Virginia Peterson. Let me see. So I don't have ages on either one of them. They end up both living. He gets into their house. Virginia wakes up whenever he comes into the house because I maybe he broke something on the way in. I don't know. Either way, she heard him come in. He shoots her in the face, which is new because usually he goes for the husband first. But after he shot her husband heard it, woke up, and they started to get into a fight. He tries to shoot him, but he misses and gets him in the neck instead of the head. And it gives him like an opportunity to fight back. And I think he tries to shoot him two or three more times and still doesn't get it. He ends up leaving. I don't think he stole anything because he's like fighting.
He's like,
this ain't worth it. I'm out. And both of them end up surviving. So August 8th, 1985, he enters the home of Sakina and Elias Abawath. He shoots Elias in the head. He handcuffs Sakina to the bed. He's, like, raping her. And they have a three-year-old, and he comes into the room. So, kid enters. He doesn't quit assaulting Sakina. I think that he might, like, pause in the middle of it to tie up this toddler.
Mm-hmm.
And then goes, like, back to it. And he keeps telling her that she has to swear to Satan and that she's not going to scream and that she's being truthful about where all of her expensive stuff is and he's not hiding anything from her. And he starts talking about Satan and all of this stuff. Her husband was 31 years old, but her and her son survive. So August 18th, this is only, 10 days after? He enters the home of Peter and Barbara Pan. He shoots Peter in the face. As he does. He's going through his normal thing. He kills Barbara after he's attacked her and assaulted her. He steals everything that's worth value in their house. Peter was 66 and Barbara was 62. So he's like kind of starting to pay attention to the news a little bit. Because obviously.
I mean, what number are we at now? Like, I don't even know.
I know. I meant to put like actual numbers in here somewhere. I'm close to the end though, thank God. So at this scene, he does the thing again where he like writes on the wall in lipstick, and he puts the phrase "Jack the Knife" under a pentagram in one of the bedroom walls. I still don't know what that means. So, this same night, he also throws his sneakers off the Golden Gate Bridge because they have, like, shoe prints from him.
Why would they announce that?
I don't know. Because it's 1970.
They're like, we have, like, one piece of evidence. Let's announce it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he throws them off the Golden Gate Bridge and gets rid of them. So August 24th, he enters the home of Bill Carnes and Inez Erickson. They're engaged. I think they were supposed to get married a few months after this. But when he enters the house, Bill wakes up. He shoots Bill in the head three times, and then he starts beating and raping Inez. He ties her up with neckties that he found in the closet, and while he's assaulting her, he is, like, forcing her to say that she loves Satan and all of the stuff about swearing her soul over and that kind of stuff. This is also the first time that he, like, names himself, and he tells her, like, right before he leaves, tell them that the Night Stalker was here.
Oh, so he gave himself the name.
I think so, yeah. She ends up untying herself, and somehow she gets both of them to the hospital. Bill survives. They remove both of the bullets out of his head. I don't know where the third one was, but they remove both of them, and he survives.
He killed a lot of people, but he was also bad at killing a lot of people.
Yeah, so, at this point, he's, like, everywhere in California.
California got a lot of serial killers.
No. And it was, like, Southern California.
And, I mean, their rent's too damn high to have
that. That's why the rent's so high. So, he's, like, on every newspaper, at every store, at every bus stop, like, every local place that you can think of. Also, the police are all out looking for him. At this time, he does a lot of, like, stealing cars and switching vehicles, driving between places. So, it's hard for them to keep up with him. But because he had left people alive after he tried to attack them, there were a few other, like, random robberies that he had done, too, because he just couldn't get enough. So he's got a lot of notoriety. He tries to go to his brother's house, I think. I don't have it written down. I think it was his brother's house. And so he's at one of the bus stations, but I think he either missed it or something happened with scheduling, so he didn't end up going. But he's, like, waiting at the bus station right afterwards. It's August 30th. And because police are everywhere looking for him, they see him at the bus station and get him. So his trials start July 22nd, 1988. And this is probably where literally everybody has seen that one picture of him where he has like the pentagram on the back of his hand and he's talking about like Hail Satan mm-hmm. and everything. So September 20th, 1989, he gets convicted of 13 counts of murder, 5 attempted murders, 11 sexual assaults, which there were way more than that. He also kidnapped a child at one point. If you watch the Netflix show, I think it's in episode...
I think it's in the first episode. Maybe? The one where the girl talks about how she was raped.
The girl that he kidnaps, how old was she?
She was 9. Yeah. She was like a baby.
Yeah. He kidnaps her. And takes her back to his house and does all kinds of awful things. Will. She goes into very, very graphic detail. So if that's not your thing, Netflix gives no warning. His
Netflix never gives any trigger warnings. Yeah. Like Tiger King, when that guy killed himself.
Just shot himself. Yeah. I was sitting on the couch and I yelled. I didn't think that was going to happen.
Like they just, and like she went into detail.
She's
she, like,
very graphic.
She's like. And Marissa sent me a message. She's like, hey, girl, this is a heads up. This is what...
Because I started it a few minutes before you did. And yes. I was like, I was literally sitting in my bathtub. And this girl is just going into really intense detail about it. And, like, I'm glad that she's able to talk about it and not...
I hate being like, you're so strong. But...
yeah.
But that took a lot. That has to take a lot.
And it's the level of detail where I'm like, I think that Netflix should give some kind of warning.
She like talks about the music that was playing in the background
and all of the things that she was saying to him and what his house was like
and what the like smells.
I'm yeah, like, but like, then after he's done with her, quote,
he just throws her into the gas station.
Yeah, he just like leaves her in the middle of nowhere.
She's like go to. He's like dropped her off and like was like go to that gas station and call the cops.
Yeah, well, his other charge is 14 burglaries, and there were way more than that, but. That's what he got charged with. So his original sentencing was death by gas chamber, which...
I can't believe he missed out on that.
But unfortunately, he got B-cell lymphoma and he died June 7th, 2013 at the age of 53.
I am tired of these serial killer murderers.
The entire episode. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
It's
going to
be a little bit longer.
Mine's pretty short and sweet. But that's something that makes me mad is all these serial killers who get diseases in prison.
And then how they dare die. You get a disease?
And they die in prison. Yeah. And then my tax dollars have to pay for their medical health.
You don't live in California. I guess your federal tax dollars, maybe.
Yeah.
I would imagine he would be in federal prison. I didn't look into that. But you would think for somebody to get all of that.
I'm tired of my tax dollars going to rapists.
Aren't we all? Just think of what the world would be like.
So for this, I couldn't think of anything.
Like, I love that opening. I couldn't really think of anything.
So how I found something to talk about, I just typed in Florida haunted.
Ah, perfect.
And I found the Bellamy Bridge. Have you heard of her?
I don't think so. I know Bellamy Extensions. Like hair extensions.
Yes.
Is that the same thing?
Yeah. It's a bridge. The most beautiful hair growth that you have ever seen.
Amazing.
Okay, so it's a one and a half. It's like, how to get here? You go on a 1.5 mile long bridge that leads to this. It's in Florida, which you already know. It's Florida. The Bellamy Bridge was built in 1914 on the site of a previous bridge that was built in 1840. This is one of the oldest bridges in Florida. Mm. So, how is it haunted? It is haunted by Elizabeth Jane Bellamy, a woman who died in 1837 and was buried around in the area. People will say, like, they'll see her apparition. She, like, glows blue. She, like, walks around. And she's classic just vibing on stuff. The bridge. People like to vandalize her grave. And so we're she's good. Probably really mad about that.
Yeah.
So, she was a bride of Dr. Samuel C. Bellamy, who was a prominent member of society in, like, you know, the 1800s. Mm-hmm. He really loved her so much that he started to build this large mansion for her.
Okay.
The wedding date was set May 11th, 1837. They were, like, talking about it. They're like, oh, this was a big wedding, long awaited. I mean, people waited for this wedding for weeks. Like, it was, like, a week-long celebration.
Mm-hmm.
They're wed in a rose garden behind them. Our romance did not last very long, though. That is because homegirl got set on fire.
Oh. Yeah, that'll probably put a stop to it.
Two different stories. One of them was they were dancing at their wedding. It's like wedding day set on fire.
Okay. Oh, good. Like in the Vampire Diaries?
Yes.
Sorry, that's a spoiler. Sorry.
So one of the stories goes is they're doing like their couple's first dance, and they're dancing, and she brushes against a candle and ignites in fire.
Oh, good.
The other story goes...
Are you okay?
The other story goes that she was sitting in a chair, and then she fell asleep, and her dress caught on fire. She runs away, and, you know, in middle school, they just stop, drop, and roll. Don't run if you're on fire. The oxygen only makes it stronger.
It was 18, whatever. They probably didn't teach them to stop, drop, and roll.
So she's in hospital for days, but succumbs to her injuries and later passes away. She was buried next to a grove of trees near the Bellamy Bridge. Samuel did not take her death very well. He became an alcoholic and later died by suicide. Local residents say that Elizabeth could not stand the fact of having her husband, so that's why she haunts the place. This resulted in her apparition appearing on dark and foggy nights, wandering the swamps around the small cemetery where she was buried. So, now I'm going to tell you something. Okay. None of that real.
What?
I know.
You just lied to my face.
I did. They were real people, and I'm going to tell you the real story.
Oh, the real team. Of Samuel
and Elizabeth.
Okay.
So, the real story is, they're definitely real people who got married. However, they didn't. The actual date, not even real. They got married sometime in, like, February. And they weren't even married in Florida.
Marriage was a Pisces.
Somewhere in, like, North Carolina. Mm. So, they moved to Florida, though, later on in life, in the area where the Bellamy Bridge is. They, like, owned hundreds and hundreds of acres of land. They also had over 80 slaves. I don't know why this is important, but it is.
Okay.
It was something noted, and I said, I guess it's to emphasize how bad of people they were.
Okay, yeah.
So, something fun about Florida is it's super swampy. And mosquitoes, they be buzzing around and vibing there.
Mm-hmm.
Mosquitoes carry malaria.
Mm. Yes, they do. Yes. That's facts.
And at this point, Elizabeth and Samuel, they have a son. They name it Andrew.
They name it Andrew.
They name him Andrew. So, sorry, someone sent me a text message. Lost my train of thought. Okay, so Elizabeth, Samuel, and Andrew all get malaria.
Okay.
This is noted in a letter written to Elizabeth's half-brother, sending details how she was sick, and they both have, like, awful, awful, awful fevers.
Oh, good.
Andrew and Elizabeth, sadly, don't make it from this malaria.
Yeah.
But Samuel survives. According to an obituary in the Tallahassee Floridian, 18-year-old Elizabeth Jane Bellamy passed away due to malaria, and her tombstone records that she died May 11th, 1837.
Oh.
They were set to lay to rest at a family cemetery. So, Samuel decides to become, like, this well-known politician in the area. And so he just does his thing, being a politician. He starts investing in things. Something happens. He loses all his money.
Oh, he was one of the people betting against GameStop.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he loses all his fortune. The Union Bank collapses. He becomes an alcoholic and does die by suicide.
Okay.
So that was the truth. However, he did not kill himself because he was sad about his wife dying. He was sad about losing money.
Mm-hmm. Not
men. Newspaper articles write that he slit his throat.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's an interesting way to go through with that.
Right. So the ghost, you know, seemed... I couldn't really find any stories, like, detailing, like, people's paranormal experience. Just besides, she shows up, she looks spooky. Let's not vandalize where people are buried. How
like
about?
A woman in white story? Is yeah, kind of. Them are?
Yeah. Okay. You can go visit the bridge. The Bellamy Bridge Heritage Trail is located at 4057 Country Road 162 in Marania, Florida. Mm-hmm. It's free to visit and open to the public during daylight hours, 365 days a year.
Oh.
So we could go there.
You just gave us an address and everything.
I know.
You want to pull up the Google Maps for it?
Again, if you want. The bridge is... Let me show you... I told you mine was short and sweet.
Yeah.
I can show you a picture of
it. It's
the,
because I forewarned you, like, oh my God, yes. My story is so long.
I didn't mean
for it to be. I just forgot that he killed, like, 20 people.
So let me show you what it looks like. Because it's really pretty. When I was looking, I was like, I mean...
A piece of art.
That is not the Bellamy Bridge. That is the Goat Bridge.
Not the Goat Bridge. That bridge is also special in its own ways. Oh, yeah. It's like one of those, what are they called? Like suspension bridges?
Yeah. You can't cross it, though. It's, like, broke.
You might not cross it. That sounds like a challenge.
Why don't we just get on my gator and cross it?
Exactly.
I thought it was just kind of interesting. The story is kind of fun. I mean, it sucks that the first story isn't real because I think that story is kind of spicy.
Spicy.
Like, I know. I was like, heartbroken.
They just romanticized that story a lot.
They were like, yeah. And like, it's like an old story. Like, they're like talking about it. It's like, it's been passed down for years and years and years.
That don't make it true.
No.
That just means y'all have been lying for a really long time.
Chills.
Not chills.
Do we have anything to add?
Anything to add at all? No.
Oh, I had a question about the Night Stalker.
Yes.
Wasn't there like a town meeting about the Night Stalker and he was like at it and one of the guys who was like talking was like, I dare you to come to my house. I fucking dare you. And then he came to the house and killed the guy and that was another way they're like, he was obviously at this town meeting because that guy, like, fired him up. Was that a thing? Am I making that up?
I was about to say, was it that or is it Golden State Killer? It's Golden State Killer.
Oh, okay.
They were running around about the same time because everybody was killing everybody.
I got my serial killers crossed.
That's okay. But...
My favorite fact about this...
That's the Golden State Killer. But it was when they were still calling him the East Area Rapist.
Okay.
But both of them were running around in a similar area.
Man, like, the
basically
cops...
Basically the same.
The cops in the 80s really had their jobs cut out for them.
Oh, yeah. They, in that Netflix thing about it, they're, like, interviewing all of the people that worked on the case and stuff.
Yeah, because Paul Holes saw off the Golden State Killer, well, played a big part.
Yes, yes.
I've emailed him before and he replied to my email.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Famous. Did you send him our podcast?
No. I should.
You should.
Since he's had my email before.
Billy Jensen has replied to me, so.
Apparently, Paul Holes, like, I mean, he used to be a cop, so people have some problems.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Billy Jensen is giant. Like,
I know.
I didn't realize how tall he was.
He's a big old string bean man.
Yes. I really do like their podcast, though. Sometimes there's this one, though, that I have to take a break from because it's so serious and so straightforward. And sometimes I'm like, I just need a break from this. Mm-hmm. I'm just like in my car.
And oh, yeah. Like, they don't do a whole lot of the joking.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Everybody there's has something their own wrong. Style.
Mm-hmm. They're more serious. They're more like, let's get assault.
Sometimes you want to watch an ID show and sometimes you want to watch YouTube
videos. Because of their... podcast, though, a murder did get solved. That really old one, mm-hmm. that the girl in the barrel with the baby.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Insane.
Citizens
detectives. Yep. Got their money made out. You can donate to us if you want to.
Yeah, if you want.
You can support our coffee addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You can.
A Tinder message.
Of course, how could we forget?
I know.
How could we forget?
I don't know if you can be my girlfriend since I'm only passing through, but how about be my bitch tonight?
That's very straightforward of him.
Right.
Very aggressive.
I know. Something about...
Are you into aggressive?
No. There's something about men who like to hit women in bed that just screams a red flag.
So what you're saying is you're not kinky.
I'm pretty vanilla.
Okay.
I do.
For all boyfriend applications in the future.
If a man ever slapped me in bed, I think I would cry.
I mean, yeah, that's understandable.
It's because trauma.
I would probably get an attitude, honestly, and then it would just turn into a fight. Physical altercation.
I'd probably slap him back.
Honestly.
And I'd open some other doors on accident.
Yeah. Oh, you'd open a door that he didn't even know was there. And he'd be like, do I like being hit by women?
I don't know. I think, I don't know. There's something about people who get turned on by abuse. Not that.
Are you openly kink shaming people right now?
I just say maybe get some therapy. No, I'm kidding. If that's your thing, that's your thing. I know there's like, there's like safety, blah, blah, blah. It's a whole thing. It's a whole community.
The BDSM community is not about like harming.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I guess to some degree it is, but everybody's in on it. It's not like they're just like beating each other.
It's just the traumas I have that make me go, oh, what? How could you do that?
Yeah, that's fair.
Anyways, I want to apologize to the BDSM community. That's not what I meant. There's just some men I have met in my life who are fake BDSM people.
Oh, 100%. But
that's more what I'm talking about.
A lot of the people, from what I've heard, I don't know, nobody's invited me to your BDSM clubs, but they say that, like, if you're not doing, I don't know, the rules, like, then you get shunned out of the community.
Yeah. There's this,
which I appreciate.
Sometimes I land on kink TikTok.
I have a few times and I'm like, I don't know how I and got here.
I don't know. I guess like they're like, there's a lot of aftercare. There's a lot of, it's like a thing. It's like a big elaborate thing. There's lots of rules, regulations.
It's like a game.
I think there's even like contracts that most people sign when they're getting into it. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. I didn't mean to shade the BDSM community.
Like, we're going to be hearing about that forever.
Sorry. It was a joke. It's just, Marissa and I don't.
It was a prank.
It was a prank, bro.
It was a prank.
Marissa and I have not dealt with good men.
Yeah. Fair.
Who would be like, yeah, my kink is BDSM, when they just really want to hit women.
I was about to say, that other man?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just want
to... I know we're thinking of the same person right now.
Yeah, we are thinking of the same person, yeah. Yeah, just wanted to physically beat somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like how this...
Yelled at his mom.
Yeah.
Right in front of me. Anyway. I'm gonna shut up.
We better stop while we're
at it. I'm done talking.
I really like how this podcast started out with us talking about the sweet limp boats.
Because now we're at the BDSM community. Yeah, anyway.
Hannah Montana does BDSM.
Marla. Actually, Miley Cyrus would probably approve of that.
I love that woman.
Me too. Her and her mullet. She's the reason that I cut mine.
She's so cute.
She is. I agree.
I would be like, and her music...
Yeah, I also like that she's very much just like some of her songs have this energy of, yeah, I'm a bad person and I know it. I'm like, well I mean, okay.
I guess if you admit to it.
If you ain't trying to hide it from nobody, I guess.
I guess if we ain't keeping secrets.
Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure that song, Bad Karma, it's all about, she's just like, yeah, I just be a taker, you know? And I'm like, well, somebody's gotta be one, I guess.
I really like her sister, too. Noah?
Oh, yeah. I was like, which one? I think she has like four.
I don't know.
And her brother's like Metro Station guy. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
But
that's her brother. Dolly Parton's her godmother. I wish Dolly Parton was my godmother.
I wish Dolly Parton was involved in my life somehow.
Area. Yeah.
I feel like her boobs are nice to lay on when you get a hug.
Are they fake or are they real? I thought they were fake.
I don't. They're just big.
Meet her and let me know.
Okay. Dolly Parton, email us. Are your boobs real? Our email is creepcafepod@gmail.com. But if you want to reach us on Twitter or Instagram, it's creepcafepod. Ooh, I gave you the wrong Gmail.
Creepcafepodcast@gmail.com.
It's all right. And if you guys want to tell us about,
are your boobs real?
we don't judge. If serious question though, if you have breast implants, can you breastfeed? I've always wondered that.
I don't know. You should get them and then have a baby and see how it works out.
I would be like, it doesn't. 4 years from now, I update you.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. We haven't recorded in 2 years. No, I'm kidding.
Sad.
We're gonna be a podcast until we die. We're going to be 85 years old talking about murderers.
I hope so. I mean, they're going to keep happening, unfortunately. Right? So. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway.
Have a good night. Goodbye. Bye.